This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by TouringPlans.com. And you know what? I hate waiting in lines. I don't know about you, but I think many of us would probably agree that it just stinks. There's nothing good about waiting in lines. I mean, yeah, the queues are better than they used to be, but you're still waiting in line. You're not riding the ride. You're not seeing the show. You're not getting through and doing what you really had your heart on. No one envisions waiting in line. Everyone envisions doing the actual attraction. So the solution to this problem is touringplans.com, because you get to do everything you want to do, see everything you want to see, ride everything you want to ride, and not wait in really long lines at Walt Disney World. It's really that simple. And we have a deal just for our WDW Today listeners. If you subscribe to touringplans.com using special discount code ZUZU2014, you will save 21% off a subscription to touringplans.com. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Monday, November 10th, 2014, and this is episode 1420 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Initial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. You know, Len, we're recording a podcast when the Cleveland Browns are in first place. What does that tell you?
It's we live in a strange new world, man. Strange new world.
This podcast has come full circle.
I know. Was this 1960 again? What is this?
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Len. The Jets, I know, right?
Congratulations.
The Jets, yeah. Really?
The Nets could have beat them, or the Mets could have beat them today.
I was thinking of you all afternoon.
New York team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That happens.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Scopa, a blogger for touringplans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
The wheels of progress turn swiftly here.
Muppets. You did Muppets that one like last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I think you used that one last
week. Oh, okay. Let me do another one then.
No. I win. That was it.
No.
Philip, no. Mark it. Put it in the books.
This is Monday, so let me do a shout out to those fans of WDW Today and who braved the cold, the wind and the rain and ran in the Walt Disney World 2014 Wine and Dine Half Marathon on Saturday night. It's tough enough to run at night, but when it's raining, it's even tougher.
That's the pre-show from the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
No?
Oh. Shout out to them. It sits them. And
Mike, you think it's worse to be run in cold, rainy weather or hot, humid weather? No rain.
Probably it's tougher to run in the hot, humid weather, Matt, because actually cold, rainy weather is actually comfortable at times because you don't really feel the cold.
I'd totally rather run in rain. Yeah,
cold never bothered you anyway.
Nope. Yeah. Ran today in 39 degree weather, so nope.
Also joining us on today's show is Laurel Stewart, who is the co-author of The Unofficial Guide to the Disney Cruise Line. Welcome to the show, Laurel.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and we brought Laurel on because she recently attended the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party for 2014. This annual event happens at Walt Disney World every year, and we had a chance to be invited by Walt Disney World to go check it out, and Laurel was there for us. So, Laurel, I think we should probably tackle this in two phases. One phase being kind of like the we'll discuss how, you know, if someone who's never been to the party before, and then maybe after that we'll discuss, you know, a veteran standpoint in terms of, you know, the inevitable question, which we'll save for a little later. Is it worth it? Should I go? I've been there before. That kind of thing. So let's start with at the beginning, a very good place to start. When you're talking about the Very Merry Christmas Party, let's talk about just, you know, you're going to the party here. What were some of the highlights for you? What really stood out to you in this year's event?
I was very surprised that it was not more Frozen specific than it was. I was fully prepared to be all Elsa'd and Anna'd out by the end of the night. But there's really a minimal Frozen presence there, which is surprising given how much Disney's capitalized on that franchise in the last year. Mm-hmm. They do the Frozen Holiday Wish, which is this year's version of the castle lighting show, and they have a float in the Christmas parade, but really that's it.
Yeah, so that's the only real
That's the only real Frozen stuff there. There was no Frozen dance party. There was, you know, there was a little bit. No, there wasn't even any specific Frozen merchandise for the Christmas party. So there you go.
So there's the event tickets for this, by the way, we should mention, start at $67 per person plus tax. And it's on select nights from November 7th through December 19th, 2014 at the Magic Kingdom. What were the crowds like for this event?
It was sold out.
Really?
So, yes. For November 7th, you know, the official beginning of the holiday season, a week after Halloween, of course. Yeah, the event was sold out. And I have a feeling that had to do with the Wine and Dine Marathon being the next night because everyone had to be there already to check in and get their packets. And since the race wasn't a morning race, I think most people thought, hey, well, as long as I'm going to be up, there you go. It was a media night, and but I, you know what, I didn't see that many of the usual suspects around. There was a lounge upstairs at Columbia Harbor House, and it wasn't. I don't think there were enough people there really to make a difference as far as the media.
Okay, so some of the things you mentioned before were, of course, the castle thing where they changed the castle over. Of course, they do that. They do that every night, but. Anyway, it's part of the party for this.
Yes.
They have the parade and the fireworks are probably the coup de grace of the entire event. Let's talk about let's start with the parade. Did you see the parade and if so, what did you think about it?
I saw the parade twice.
Oh.
Because I was trying out different vantage points. I think it runs long. I don't think it's as original as the Halloween party because, you know, that's what you got to compare it to. I was watching it from the train station, and that viewing area is only going to be as good as it was for me until the first week of December because the Christmas tree is not up in Magic Kingdom yet. The tree will go up the first week of December, and then it's going to obstruct your view looking down Main Street. But until then, it's a really nice place to watch. And it, despite the fact that that it was sold out, for the second viewing, it was maybe too deep against the rails looking out, which is not bad for a parade.
Yeah, we always recommend, I know, Scopey, you're a big fan of always recommending the second parade because a lot of the families are gone by that point because it is a little later on.
Yep, I agree.
But that parade just feels so long to me because there's nothing in it really that feels original. You know, the Halloween parade has its own soundtrack. It has the gravediggers from the Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. And this is more just like floats going by. The soundtrack was so generic that I couldn't even tell you what was playing on it.
Yeah, I've always had a problem with the music they select because, I mean, Christmas has some of the best music ever for a holiday. I mean, they've really, you know, there's some great songs that have been written for it. And Disney, I'm sure for licensing reasons, tends to go with their own thing. And it's forgettable. It's just you would think they would have a better catalog to kind of go with.
Or a Frozen float for a Christmas parade. That would
they did have, but they, well, they had, oh, they and Elsa had a float and Olaf was behind them in with like sitting in front of his little house, but it was pretty small float and it didn't really seem Frozen specific. I guess the Olaf one was that, the shop where she goes to buy the stuff on the way up the mountain. I've only seen Frozen once, so I'm you know, pulling this out of the Cave of Wonders. The thing that I thought was really funny is at the end of both the Halloween and the Christmas parade, Goofy is driving that little tricycle thing with the candy on it. I'm pretty sure it's the same float.
It is. It's the exact same float. In fact, they just, you know, it's not a paint job. Yeah, it's just a couple things they threw on top. Look, it's different.
Hey, yeah. So I really couldn't figure out what that had to do with the parade at all. But, you know.
Okay. Well,
it was fun.
Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Parade is at 8:15 and 10:30. And then you have Holiday Wishes at 9:30. So let's talk about that.
Wow. Okay. So you have to look at the whole schedule here, which is Frozen Holiday Wish at 8.
6:15 and 8. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. 6:15 includes the day cast. 8 is the one for just the.
Yes.
You've got the Celebrate the Season at 7:30. You've got Celebrate the Magic, which is the pre-show for the for the fireworks, and then Holiday Wishes at 9:30. What that equals to, at least on a night where it's sold out and there are construction walls up around the hub, which there are, is a very, very, very crowded Main Street and hub. I mean, it's unpleasant. So I decided to try and watch it from New Fantasyland. I was behind the mine train.
Oh, how was that vantage point?
You know, it's okay. You can't hear the music quite as well, and you don't. Is it Rudolph flying from the top of the castle?
Oh yeah,
you know what? I was from such a distance, all I could see was that something was flying, and I don't really follow the storyline, so I figured it wasn't Tinkerbell. Could be Santa. Could be Rudolph. Could be Olaf. I don't know.
Watching it was fine. Watching the fireworks from Fantasyland is something that a lot of veteran Disney fans will do just to change it up a little bit, but I don't think it's by any means the best place to watch it. But to your point, I agree with you 100%. When we were down there, even September, which is obviously a much slower time of the year, it's just it's a real bottleneck around the hub and even just Main Street. You have to go all the way down, which of course once you get that far down, it's hard to really see the castle without the buildings on Main Street blocking it. So yeah, it's tough. And one of my favorite old spots was by Crystal Palace because it was, you know, I was willing to be off center a little bit, a tree here and there, but it would be far less crowded. But now those walls and everything, it makes it impossible.
Yeah, yeah. So. The number of viewing spots is severely limited right now. And since I had already seen Frozen Holiday Wish earlier in the week, I didn't feel the need to be in front of the castle again because I had already gotten boxed in before down there and I didn't want to repeat the experience.
So I think that's probably a good tip then, Laurel, right? To recommend that to see the Holiday Wish. You can see it at 6:15 if you want, you know, but see it at a different time, different day even. That way it's
A different day.
Okay.
If, you know, unless that was going to be my one Magic Kingdom day, then I would, if it's your one Magic Kingdom day, see the later Holiday Wish. Otherwise, you're fighting the day guests who are also seeing it. But really, it's best on another day.
Absolutely. So let's talk about.
Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the things everyone always asks about, what about the cookies and the hot cocoa and the food they give you? It is part of the event that you get that. And I know
it's the last freebie of the event. You know what? There were lines all night. Some of them were deeper than others. I ended up grabbing them at Pinocchio Village House. I want to say after the fireworks, and I mean, it definitely wasn't a walk up, but it wasn't quite as congested as it was earlier in the evening. People started queuing up, waiting, you know, at 7 o'clock for the cookies to come out. And I'm thinking, you know, just pack a snack, man, because you're wasting time right there.
Yeah, those lines are crazy, especially in the beginning. I remember waiting in a really long one. I was like, it's just free cookies, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have apples and apple juice if you are not of the cocoa or the cookie variety too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Some good stuff there. Now let's talk about one of the other events that I know that you checked out, which was the holiday telling of, was it The Christmas Story starring Zurg?
Who is this?
It's a Totally Tomorrowland Christmas on the old Stitch stage. And I think that, that Buzz Lightyear and Zurg made up for the holidays. It was heartening. Again, the storyline is a little hard to follow, but everyone looked like they were having a really good time.
Okay.
It's not all Buzz Lightyear. They bring out different characters, including Stitch. But that was the part that I saw.
Now, what about the wait times for non-party attractions? Like, you know, the big one, of course, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but, you know, Splash Mountain, you know, any of the other attractions, Space Mountain. I mean, what were the lines like for those attractions?
They were pretty much walk-ons.
Really?
The only exception was Mine Train between, I want to say, 4 and 7:30 because you still had day guests. At one point, they stopped letting day guests into the line. But it was even that was pretty much turned into a walk-on. After wishes. So the thing with the Christmas party is if you can hold out until after the fireworks, your night is going to get a lot more pleasant.
Oh, really? Okay. So the line gets a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the other one's Space, Haunted Mansion. Even Peter Pan, it wasn't a walk-on earlier in the night, but the lines were definitely pretty short.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, I know one of the things a lot of people go for is, you know, an opportunity to essentially ride a lot of the attractions with very short lines, and that's obviously good to hear, especially for that mine train, because those lines are, as we all know, very, very long during the day. So it's kind of an added bonus there at the party. And you went on a sold out night of all nights.
Yes.
So
yes.
That kind of tells you, you know, that's a good indication.
Yeah, that wasn't bad at all. Pretty much at the back of the park is nowhere near as congested as the front of the park earlier in the evening. If you want to, I would work back to front if you're coming between 6 and say 8, or sorry, between 4 and 8, just don't go on Main Street. You'll be much happier for it.
Now, the one thing the thing that I saw based on, you were, Laura, by the way, was tweeting from our Twitter account, WW Today Podcast, that it looked like the character lines were the worst lines of all.
They were. There are lots and lots of character meet and greets during the party, but the two big ones are the Seven Dwarfs, mm-hmm. which are always a big draw, even though you'd think by now everyone who wanted to get a picture with them would have by now, but I guess some people do it every year. And then new this year is Jack Skellington as Sandy Claus, which was awesome.
Cool. Why was it so cool?
So he's technically a face character. I mean, his face is painted like a clown, but he can talk.
Oh.
So he was animated. He was all over the place. He was just really, really good.
Nice. That's cool. And where was that look? Where was that meet location?
Storybook Circus. You know, the tent beside Pete's, the one where Daisy and Minnie are.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Show?
Yes. So you know, there's that other tent that's kind of a waiting area.
Mm-hmm.
Back by the, it was back there, and that line got. I think that line got an hour long, possibly more at night. And I know the dwarfs got long also. The thing to remember with those is don't wait until the last minute, because they close the lines before the party's over. Yes. In fact, one of our bloggers, Daisy Lauren, had already queued up ahead of time for Jack, and then wanted to do the Seven Dwarfs and wasn't able to because I think they closed the line at around 11:30.
Hmm. So here's the inevitable question for you, Laurel. Now, let's qualify this by people that have never been, people that have been before, and people that go every year. I mean, what would be your recommendation for? To go to this party, you think it's worth it? Is it? I mean, what's your take on recommendations for people if they should check this party out or not?
Okay, here's my true confession. This was only my second Christmas party, and the first one was last year. It was on the first day of reunion, and I made it for about an hour until I was ready to go home. So I would say this is more or less my first Christmas party.
That's you know, and that's a good opinion, because then you have a really fresh look on this. You're not jaded like Len, so this is cool. I like this.
you know Len, he's awfully cynical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to is it worth it, you have to say, what does worth it mean to you? If you're looking for the old Christmas party where it was all about, you know, full cups of cocoa and free photos, that's not the same. It's not coming back. And I have learned to accept the things that I cannot change. If you can't get past that, you're not gonna enjoy the Christmas party. You're gonna say, I dropped $65 to ride some rides and see a parade.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I got to say, I really enjoyed it. Even though at one point I called Lynn and said, I hate Christmas. I can't remember what made that happen. So it didn't, whatever
probably
it is.
The sound of children singing or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was that. But if you just want to enjoy the atmosphere, the music on Main Street was really, really fun. The decor on Main Street is great. The snow is fun. I thought it was just a really nice night.
Nice. That's good to
hear. Yeah, I would say it's worth it. Yes. I mean, I was prepared to go anyway. I had already purchased a ticket before you guys had one, and I was able to pass the ticket on to one of the bloggers. So, in essence, I did spend my own money on it.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good to hear. So basically, you know, if the event comes next year and you're considering you'll be down there and there's an opportunity for you to purchase it, you definitely lean towards going again.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun if you go in with the right expectations that, sure. You know, and to put it in perspective, $65, that is, if you think that an adult character buffet is going to run you $40 plus gratuity,
per person,
that's going to last you 2 hours.
Yep.
This can give you, you know, 8 hours of fun if you want it, and it's only going to cost you 50% more. Why not?
That's a good point. I mean, it sounds like it's a great time, and I appreciate you taking one for us and going down there and experiencing it all.
Oh, can I? Let me add one more thing for people who are planning. The food situation. Do not show up for this event hungry. because between 4 and 7, you're going to be fighting the day guests who are also looking for a place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of places will have closed early because they turn into snack locations for the party. And your choices are very, very, very limited during the party.
Yeah, isn't it just, if you want real food, Cosmic Rays?
Cosmic Rays, I hit up Pecos Bill's. A lot of the places that are open will stop serving real food at 9. You can try to get an ADR. Be Our Guest was serving until 8, but I have my doubts about anybody being able to get an ADR there. Liberty Tree was not serving. Crystal Palace was not serving because that was a snack location. Do not show up there expecting to eat dinner anytime soon. I would, you know, pack a snack. Otherwise, you're going to be very, very, very cranky.
Awesome. Well, Laurel, thank you very much for the assistance. Good work all around. Really, really informative stuff, I think.
Hey, thanks.
And of course, this episode of WGW Today is being sponsored by touringplans.com. And you know what? You're looking for some great information on visiting Walt Disney World. You know, obviously, we always talk about what Touring Plans offers you in terms of saving you time in lines. But in addition, you can also check out their amazing blog, honestly, that has really great content in terms of helping you plan. I have no doubt there's going to be a post. If there isn't one already about the party up there, you can actually go back to old years, find some good stuff there. It's stuff about Cruise Line. And there's really so much to find there. There's the ticket calculator saying, man, I wonder which ticket I should get for my trip to Walt Disney World. What's the cheapest option? You know what? They got a calculator. It asks you what all your particular options are that you need to choose from, and it will tell you what's the best ticket for you and where to buy it to get the best deal. These are just some of the amazing features at touringplans.com. How about having the option to see what every hotel room looks like from that room, the view that you'll have? You can have that touringplans.com. It's really that cool. Check them out right now, touringplans.com. And, of course, that'll do it for us today. If you want to send us your questions, you can email us questions@wdwtoday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, and Laurel Stewart, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.